Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
The Premier and Non-League podcast is back for episode 59 after a well-earned, well-rested Christmas break. I probably can't say that because you'll probably say I go on holiday half the times of the year anyway, so I always have a break. Gaz, Trev and Chris and myself, James, here tonight. How are we doing, chaps? Did we have a good festive period, Trev?
Yes, we won. We won 3 games out of 3. Beautiful.
But at our personal level, did you have a good Christmas level? Forgetting the football for 1 second.
Yes, I won 3 games out of 3 with no goals conceded and 9 points. So, yeah, no, it was really good. A bit short, but does work in between. But
it literally went flying, didn't it?
It always does, though, isn't it? The prep takes like 3-4 weeks, and then like a Brussels sprout farts over in 5 seconds, isn't it?
Yeah, but then it lingers around for months on end. Like,
yeah, it does.
Like Gaz is 12.
Yeah. It's like those 3 days in between. That's what lingers around, isn't it? Because everyone doesn't know what the hell to do on that bit before New Year.
Well, I was calling it, Peter Crouch's podcast was calling it the Gooch. It was like the Gooch, the Gooch between Christmas and New Year. It's called the Gooch. So I don't know, could we call it the Gooch officially? The Gooch?
Yeah, I think so.
The Gooch between Christmas. So Mr. 12, with his last remnants of Christmas, Gaz, did you have a good Christmas, mate? On a personal level, we're talking.
Yeah, it's really good. My daughter's first Christmas. So, really good.
So that was 3 wins out of 3 and no goals conceded as well. Then,
That was.
And lastly, Chris, has been an exciting festive period for you in the footballing world. But how about yourself? I've seen pictures of you in festive, was it pyjamas or onesies or something you had on your Facebook?
Always wear Christmas jammies. It was a lovely festive season, thank you.
Yeah, no. And am I right in saying one of your children got engaged over Christmas?
Yeah, my daughter got engaged before Christmas, so yeah.
There we go. Congratulations, mate.
Thank you.
Are you picking a hat out already?
No, I don't know when they're going to get married.
That's the next thing, saving up for it, isn't it?
Well, I'll have to have a long way. I've got nout to give her. So, no, it's great news.
Good to hear, mate. Good to hear. Congratulations for the May family. Right, I guess we have got lots to talk about. It's been quite a few months on end. It's about 5 weeks, is it, since we last recorded? 4 weeks, 5 weeks?
Yeah, 4 or 5 weeks, isn't it?
4 or 5 weeks, yeah.
4 or 5 weeks, yeah. So the FA Cup draws just happened. Shall we talk about what could happen in the fourth round of the FA Cup? Because if Manchester United win tonight and easily win their replay, it's Eastleigh versus Man United, isn't it, chaps? And that is, the TV will obviously come calling for that. It'll probably end up being Newport Wigan, as you all said, Trent.
No slouches on Newport, not us out in the second round after we did the hard work and got a draw there. So won't be easy for Eastleigh, but they've got the leading scorer in the National League, Paul McCallum, so got a good chance.
I mean, I think looking at the FA Cup with the last of, 4 games involving non-league signs in round 3, we've talked about Eastleigh, they drew 1-1 with Newport, got to go to Newport on a cold Monday night, Tuesday night replay, or was it on a Saturday? We're going to do it this year.
Other way around, it's at Eastleigh, isn't it?
Sorry, it's easily, is it? Yeah, so they've got, so that gives them the favour, doesn't it? Because, you know, they're going to have a big crowd. You'd probably think some Southampton fans might go along as well, being the location to go and see. So it should be a bumper crowd, money made for the club. We'll be rooting for them, obviously. Chesterfield lost 2-1 versus Watford, which was, to be honest, that's pretty close.
Not a bad result, that, is it?
Not bad. They would go away pleased with that, wouldn't they, guys?
Yeah, you'd have thought so, wouldn't you? I mean, they'll be disappointed not to be in the hat in the next round, but yeah, I think they'll be they'll be happy. Championship, top half of the Championship, aren't they? I don't know where they are in the league. Don't follow that league very particularly much, but they'll be up there.
Well, Watford are quite a yo-yo club, aren't they? Between the Premier League, a bit like Norwich, they're between Premier League and Championship all the time. Yeah.
But of course, Chesterfield have got bigger fish to fry, haven't they? You know, they've got a job to do to get back into the Football League, so that can now be concentrated on.
Absolutely.
And then we got Aldershot. They kind of got it handed to them really 4-1 versus West Brom, another team performing. They're in the Championship as well at the moment, aren't they, West Brom?
Yeah, West Brom.
One of the yo-yoing teams. So that was one of those. And we have to say, we've got one non-league team remaining, which, to be honest, I was quite surprised that they beat Stevenage. Not in the way, but the fact that obviously, we'll talk about it later, but Worthing beat them just before Christmas 5-1, and they didn't seem to have a hope in hell, but they've all turned up for that game. Trev, you used to be from that part of the world. What do you think about Maidstone getting in? Was you expecting it, or was it a nice surprise for you?
You know, I had a bit of a funny feeling. Even though Stevenage is doing really well in League One at the moment, they're up in the stop in the top six or seven, so it wasn't going to be an easy task. I know Steve Evans sets up some really difficult sides to play against, but as it was, I sort of start their FA Cup journey at Stenning back in September, and that was a little bit, could have been a potential banana skin step two against step five back then. So to now knock outside that's two divisions high. I mean, funny enough, you said you battered them 5-1 2-3 weeks before. We played them in the Trophy and battered them 4-0 a couple of weeks before that. So
I thought they looked really poor as well in that Trophy game against you.
They certainly weren't as good as what I expected, a little bit more from a side up there. But then, you know, as we'll probably come to talk on a little bit later, a lot of the National South sides in and around that top eight or nine keep beating each other at the moment. Mm. There's not a lot of consistency, bar Hampton and Richmond.
And at Yeovil, really.
And Yeovil. So
you say that, though, Trev. If Worthing had won at the weekend, we would have gone second in front of Hampton. So, you know, they're jumping into that pond at the moment as well. Sorry.
I kind of wasn't surprised. Again, the plastic pitch as well helps. I know theirs is a bit dicky as well there. They're trying to raise money to replace it because it's come to the end of its natural life, and it wasn't fantastic when we played there twice last year. So, they're really going to benefit from the cash that's generated. And, you know, to be the last non-league side, barring Eastleigh against Brenner Replay, definitely being the lowest ranked team left. You know, it's the first time they've made it to the fourth round in this guise or even in the previous guise before they've reformed.
Yeah. And they're facing Ipswich Town in the next round. And Ipswich are doing very well at the top after being promoted from League One last year. They're on a roll, it seems, you know, which I often see happen. I remember when Southampton, Norwich were down in League One with, you know, Charlton and, you know, Sunderland back in the day. And they seem to be on a roll. Well, Sunderland, look at how well they're doing in, you know, Championship at the moment. They're all in the top half pushing for it. So that's going to be a very tough fixture for Maidstone. Do you seem to think there could be a shock, or do you think it'll be, thank you, Maidstone, thanks for your ride and goodbye? Mm-hmm.
Bit, I suppose, depends if Ipswich rest a few players. That's going to be the key thing. You know, Maidstone are back on the horse again on Tuesday night with a league fixture, so they're one or two behind, aren't they, everyone else as well. So they've got those to come in the next few weeks. But again, you know, full-time outfit, Maidstone are, so, you know, it only takes one chance to win a game.
They're only one game behind everyone else around them.
Are they?
Yeah.
Over two.
No, they've got two in hand over Averley. Only one in hand over Worthing, Chelmsford, Hampton, and Bath.
Mm.
So, and if they win that, they go probably second. So.
Yeah, so it'll be an interesting. Obviously, we'll be rooting. I don't root for Maidstone in the league for obvious reasons, but we'll root for them in the FA Cup. Those games are due to be played around the 27th. Now, obviously, in our last episode, we made quite a big song and dance about the fact there was no National League. And I know Trevor said when Maidstone won on Saturday, I'll take that National League. Yeah, take that FA Cup and ITV and all that lot, because that would have been, it's not a glory one, you know, it's not a glory one. Obviously, we know we had Newcastle, Sunderland were probably the sort of key TV picks of that weekend for obvious reasons. But I think next round we've got to see Ipswich versus Maidstone in there, you'd have thought, wouldn't you? Or do you think that could even be overlooked as well?
Could be overlooked. Could be overlooked. Ipswich Championship. So we'll see. We shall see. But it's a difficult draw. It's one of those draws where if Ipswich turn up, it'll be definitely a step too far for Maidstone. Will Ipswich turn up? will be concentrating on the league? Do they will they see it as an opportunity to actually go all out and get into the fifth round of the FA Cup? It's an interesting one. But
even that they're second in the league, you still think, you know, with possible promotion to the Premier League, you still think they might overlook it?
Who knows? I'd like to think that they'll give it a good go, and I think who knows? There's always been these cup upsets over the last 100 and 200 years or whatever it is, but you just look at it on paper and you think, well, that's as far as Maidstone are going to get, but you never know.
That, yeah. Magic of the FA Cup.
Absolutely.
No, Gareth, that's gone. That's long gone.
No.
Can we say it's maybe a little salt bay dusting of magic, sort of salted over a bit of steak? Not full magic. I don't know what Trev thinks about that. You know, he sort of slaughtered the FA Cup last round. The magic's gone. Do you think this is a little sprinkling of magic still?
It is while the non-league clubs are in it. Once they disappear, it disappears itself. I mean, you go through Twitter on Thursday and Friday, and it's just all full of, why on earth did they choose Palace? And who did Palace play? Was it Everton? And Spurs?
Palace, Everton,
Spurs, Burnley. You can almost
guarantee that Man City Spurs will be a TV
game. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, really, you know, I can watch that twice on Sky this year. And, you know, if you haven't got Sky, the pub ain't far away. And there really can't be that many people that don't have access somewhere to a Sky subscription, whether they share it with someone else, they've got their own, or they go to the pub. So I've just got no interest in watching it. You know, Newcastle, London, perfect. That deserved to be on. The rest, I think, were just all easy. I know his viewing figures for the TV companies and all that, but surely, you know, someone must be sitting there sweating away this morning from the choices and the lack of actually crap football. Actually, one of the programme columns I wrote today was, I'd love to see them publish what the viewing figures were for the games over the weekend at the start when kickoff was, and then how many were still watching by the end, because I bet they were so far down, they wouldn't dare release what the figures are.
Yeah.
Freedom of Information Act, anyone?
Yeah, probably you could do that, yeah.
That would get us a bit of publicity, wouldn't it? This non-league podcast taking on ITV and BBC. We got Ian Wright in his snow-covered captain, his oversized jacket. I saw it looks like he's been snowing. Had a little bit of snow down here on the south coast. Has it been snowing up in up north, Chris?
No, but very cold. It's cold. It's, chilly.
No, I did think, guys, and us south coasters, I would really hope that Worthing was going to get a good old downpour of it, but it's just a token dusting that we always get has now turned to ice already. So it looks a bit pathetic, but we'll take it. We'll take it. Moving on to the FA Trophy this coming weekend. Standout ties, guys. Have you had a look at the fixtures? Any standout ties? Gateshead, Western Supermare, it's end of each end of the country. I think that's going to be an interesting one. Western,
there's lots in there with massive great distance. Hive Chorley, Fylde at Averley, us going to Radcliffe,
Hampton Hartlepool,
Hendon are going Oldham, I think.
I mean, Bishop Stortford have got a southern fixture. Can you believe that? They're playing Aldershot Town. They don't have to go north for once, they can go south.
Take them just as long around that bit of the M25 that they would do to get to Shields, probably.
To be honest, it probably would be about the same time. Yeah. If someone has a bloody accident, you know that. And obviously, we've got Barnet are taking on Radcliffe away. Trev, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it will be a victory for you guys?
It won't be easy. 1,500 there at the weekend. I've been 1-3-1, and I think 6 points clear, Chris, I think, of Warrington.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah.
Good managers. I don't know, because someone asked me actually just before I come on, how seriously are we going to treat you at the weekend? And I don't know, because it's another trip to Manchester, which we had last week. The weekend. We've got trip to Gateshead and a trip to Oldham this month as well. So the boys are putting the miles in. But I don't know. See, you flip the other side of the coin. Chesterfield and Oldham are probably the other two biggest sides left in the competition. It opens up a little bit, as it did for us last year. But it's not regional. That's the only thing. And you get through this one, if you end up with another long away trip, the end of the month or beginning of next month, it's like, Do we really want to get it in the way of trying to finish second or third? I'm not quite convinced, but if it had been a southern and northern regional competition as it was last year, then I'd say, yeah, go and do it because we've got seven subs. You can use five, start the strongest, get the game done and dusted, make your five subs and go home. But it isn't.
I definitely think there could be a shock in the making. It's Macclesfield versus Dorking Wanderers. Obviously, that I think that's the for me, that's the tie of the round that's got the shock written all over it, because Dorking have been so up and down, I'd say probably more down and up over the last few weeks. Mark's calmed down from doing his rants on TV and on social media, hasn't he? But what are we thinking? What are we thinking about that Dorking game? Do you think Macclesfield, obviously full time, we're step four, aren't they?
Yeah.
You think?
Macclesfield, they've just signed Tunde Owolabi as well, who's a tremendous striker. So they've got danger all over the pitch. But a tough one. I can see Macclesfield doing that. But again, it depends on what Mr. Savage wants. Does he want to go all out for promotion or go out all out for promotion and the trophy? Depends on Mr. Savage, doesn't it?
I think if you get through this round as well, then your mentality changes a little bit because you're
Yeah.
another inch closer to Wembley, aren't you? So I think
Yeah.
you'll take, whatever you get next round, if you haven't got travel too far as well, and a few of the bigger sides, find their way out the door as well. I don't know, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I mean, I thought last year when we were going along the playoffs and that the trophy was, a little bit of a distraction, but you get away to the semi-finals because the draw opens up. It's, possible for anyone to get to. You probably wouldn't have said Halifax Gateshead would have been the trophy final at the beginning of the year. You'd have picked your Wrexhams, your Notts Counties, or your Chesterfields, one of those three to at least made the final.
Absolutely.
So the FA Trophy, another cup competition this weekend. Also the FA Bars. Any standout ties for you guys, Trev and Gaz? I know you watch more games at this level than I probably do, or Chris does. So any ties that you sort of stand out that this round that you've had a look at?
Deal definitely. Former winners still in it. I think they're heading. I'm not sure if they're. I think they're at home to Cobham. There's another two sides from Kent, Holmesdale, who have gone the furthest they've ever gone. They're at home on Saturday, I think, to Highfield, I think it is, and I think Erith travelled to Hilltop. But it's an open draw now, really is. You can
Wide open, yeah.
smell Wembley, can't you, Chris, when you get to this side of Christmas,
Yeah,
the
you
bars.
can. Yeah, absolutely. I remember when South Shields were in the Vars in 2017, and when we were booking trains and hotel rooms, with even it was the last 16. We just felt as though we were going to do it. And it does at that level. At that level, it's what it's about, and it's wide open this year. Wide open.
I think one we've got to look out for, though, because I mean, my friend, who's not really into non-league, but he's getting more, but he lives here, is in Farnham, because Farnham Town are still unbeaten.
Yeah.
They played 16 games in the league. They're still unbeaten in the league. No draws. They've won every game. They're on fire at the moment. So surely the game versus Bridgwater Town. Not sure what Bridgwater Town are like at the moment, but Farnham have definitely got to be sort of, with a strong chance of winning that trophy. I mean, it was stepping well ahead of ourselves, but their form in the league is amazing.
Yeah, only side of 100% record in the country.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Of course, no television will bring that up apart from local. What level of Bridgewater? I'm trying to look on football web pages at the moment. I can't see. They're obviously County League, but where?
Yeah,
But
either
are they?
five or six. I think they're
Yeah.
six. Might be Tool Station Western League, maybe.
Well, they must be from not even getting out, coming up on football web pages, to be honest. I'm trying to
Yeah,
search
no,
right
it'd be
now.
one of
So,
those, yeah.
but yeah, good for Farnham. Good opportunity, because they're well odds on, you think, for gaining promotion this year, because something will go significantly wrong if they don't. I don't know, Trevor, has there been much investment over at Farnham, or is it just they've picked the right players and got the right squad aligned?
Both, they've got I think they've got a bit of a budget. They've got a good manager who has got players in that he knows, and I think some are from the level above as well as the level they're at. Again, put a good group of players together that buy into what you want to do, and it becomes that much easier. But I mean, I think Jersey, they're in the same division as Jersey Bulls as well, so they're no slouches themselves in wanting to try and get promoted as well. So to go, I think, what was it 13 out of 13 they've won, isn't it, so far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 16. 16 out of 16.
16, 16 out of 16. Oh, fantastic. Even
Yeah.
better. So, yeah, you know,
Mental, isn't it?
yeah, the only question is will the VARs derail what they've done? It hasn't done to a lot of clubs in recent years, but when you've got that pressure on your shoulders of not having lost or even dropped a single point, you know, is there a lot of football still to play?
It's nice though, because obviously I've got my friend he's always seen that I really like Worthy, and I went to college with him, so I go see tennis with him occasionally. But you know, he's always liked football. He's a Chelsea fan. He's kind of disillusioned again, but he lives in Farnham, and he's sort of gone to a couple of games, and he's even noticed how sort of the town are feeling about it now. You know, there are more people going to the game, and I guess it's kind of maybe what's happened around Worthing and stuff. You could see the sort of the feel good factor when a club's doing well, and you know, better for the game and better for the local community. Because to be honest, in that part of, well, Surrey is what I mean, Aldershot, that's Hampshire, but Woking's probably is Woking the highest placed club? No, well, if you officially Crystal Palace are, but that's not really Surrey, is it? You know, it's classed
No,
as
yeah,
Surrey,
you would
isn't
go with Woking
it?
then, yeah.
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
Woking.
we would.
So again, there's like, it's a bit like the Worthing factor in the South Coast. It's such a big area where there's no. Between Brighton and Portsmouth, there's no club in that big catchment area up to sort of the south, well, pretty much where Palace are. Same with that sort of Surrey area. There's no real club. So good on them. Good on them. And that's what we like to see. And it'd be interesting to see what happens come the end of the season. Maybe we can try and get someone from the club on, or, you know, manager or something to talk about the season, because that'll be an interesting chat, I think, later on. Trev, you've sat down with Liam again this week, haven't you? And you're talking about Southend, because I think they're going to have a happy new year after all of that.
Yeah, do you know what? I said to him, it'd be third time lucky you'd be on, and we've actually got some good news to celebrate this time, which he did say, I think, the last time he was on, that hopefully the next time he's on, it's going to be something more positive, that he's
Yeah, or
just made a massive change.
didn't news that week that we last interviewed him, didn't news already make our podcast kind of out of date about 2 days after, I think, we interviewed, and sort of some sort of money or some buyer or something was going on. I can't remember exactly, because it's been such a long saga, but I'm almost certain something happened. So are we going to strike again, and it's going to be out of date before we even publish this podcast?
No, I think we're quite safe this time.
Yeah, well, Trev, let's listen to what Trev had to say with Liam from the Shrimpers Trust and All at Sea fanzine, am I right? That's right, I got it right. Bloody hell. Here we go to you.
Right, it's great for us on the PNLP once again to be joined by Liam Ager of Shrimpers Trust and All at Sea fanzine. And I think last time we spoke, Liam, we did say that hopefully at some point the next one or two times you're on, it's actually going to be something positive to talk about, isn't it? So welcome back, Liam.
Hi, Trev. Yeah, it's great to see you again. Much better circumstances this time. It looks like the sale of the club has moved on. The new owners have come into a situation with Ron where they're sort of under like a part ownership, or at least sufficient legal progress has occurred in the sale that they feel that they can start putting money into the club. There's enough like guarantees for them if something were to all fall through, which means the embargo's been lifted.
Hey.
Which, yeah, it's so. I've got the number here. Do you want to have a guess at how many days we were in a transfer embargo?
It's a long, long, it's at least 365, I think. So
You're
it's got to be more than
close.
that, surely.
It's 460,
Wow.
461 days. So it's been a long sort of 15 months or whatever that equates to. Someone, one of your listeners can work that out if they care. But yeah, it's been a long, long time. We've had to fiddle around with squad sizes this year. We've had to fiddle around with registrations. There's been various players who have signed on. We had a couple of players who signed on non-contract terms in the summer. We had Jason Dimitri, who was planning to move into a backroom role, re-registered as a player. We've had to deregister, and we've had to ask the league permission to do this. We've had to deregister players who were long-term injured, so that other players could be brought in, quite often on non-contract terms as well. So we've had Louis Lomas has suffered really badly with injuries during his time with us. I think it's a knee or an ankle, but he's been out since the beginning of the season. He was, you know, one of Brackley's best players when he joined us. He was in the National League North team this season. But we've replaced him with Brooklyn Cabangolo, who was released by Billericay. And that's no shade on anyone in particular, because, you know, we're in this part of the football ecosystem on merit. But what you want to be doing is not, you know, like any club with its transfer policy, you want to be building constantly, not putting out fires all the time. So it's really, really exciting. That feels like someone's uncuffed Kevin Mayer and John Steele, and now they can actually work their wonders and look at what we need to improve and hopefully get us a bit further back up the table.
It's been a long time coming. So just sort of explain where we are with the consortium. So I think it's not, the ink isn't quite dry on absolutely everything, is it, so far? But it's very close.
No. So the analogy for all of this, all the way through in layman's terms, has been purchasing a house. So what they announced on the, I think it was the 23rd, it was the game we played Kidderminster, I think it was the 23rd.
Yeah, 23rd,
they announced,
yeah,
that contracts had been exchanged. So essentially that is the completion of the deal has not gone through, but contracts exchanging is like considered such a milestone in buying a house, so I'm told, that there are sort of legal consequences if one party were to scupper the deal at that point. And that has essentially given the consortium led by Justin Rees, that's given them enough confidence to start putting money into the club. They had previously paid wages in the latter part of last year, and they had also paid the embargo. Sorry, they'd paid the HMRC bill, which again, I think was early October. They'd paid that amount of money that fell due. But obviously we didn't pay any more money to HMRC, so the embargo remained. But they're now happy to essentially start putting money into the club. Rees became interested in purchasing the club in the summer, and with some sort of savvy recruitment on his part and some other people at the club, he's managed to put together a 10-man consortium. So not the most diverse group of human beings, but then if you're looking at rich people in the southeast of England, they do tend to be white blokes. But it's so they've all essentially, there's one name that we don't know, but with the exception of Rees himself, they've all got some sort of connection to either the town or the club. And the hope is that whereas Ron Martin was sort of emblematic of the sort of owner that wanted to own bricks and mortar assets in a cash rich business with a captive audience and a captive fan base, these guys all feel like they want the best for the club and they want the best for the town. And it really feels like, hopefully, a sea, you know, they're barely sat down yet, but it really feels like a sea change in attitude and about what sort of things can they do to improve the club, both on the pitch and off the pitch.
And the club now is going to remain at Roots Hall, isn't it? The Fossett's Farm development pretty much goes with Ron Martin, am I right?
That's right. So that is still a hold up to the deal, because essentially what the plan was for Southend to move to an out of town stadium with an adjacent housing estate that would have been, Ron would have given the stadium, so he says, to the club, and then would have built his houses next door. That that piece of land is now going to be entirely developed for housing by Ron again, so he says. I can't caveat that every time Ron opens his mouth, but you'll just have to trust me not to trust him. So block of land is now going to be entirely developed for housing in conjunction with the council. So there's various planning permissions and bits and pieces that need to go along with that, because that is how Ron is going to make his money. The football club itself is worth naffle. And then there is a little bit of value in Roots Hall and the land that Roots Hall is on. So we're not completely out of the woods yet, but that was what a lot of the wrangling prior to Christmas was about trying to get the council and Ron to move forward. So the plan, yeah, as you say, the plan now is for the club to stay at Roots Hall. The consortium are looking to, from that development under Ron Martin's name out of town, the consortium are looking to siphon about £20 million away from that in order to have Roots Hall redeveloped. Which again would be really exciting, because it is a stadium that for my entire lifetime has been talked about as being, you know, needing to be moved away from and redeveloped as, you know, for different benefits for the town. And so no one, including Jobson before, including Vic Jobson, the owner before Ron Martin, no one really wanted to put too much effort into maintaining that. And you'll have been there in the away end, Trev, you know what it's like. Yeah. It's miserable.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's mushrooms growing in the toilets in the away end, but there's all sorts of photos that you can see if you want to have a look at how bad Roots Hall is, where there's ceiling tiles missing, toilets that flood regularly. There's still asbestos in the roof in the west end. So there's some serious problems and some serious remedial work that needs doing. And then with any luck, they'll knock down the east stand. I think that's the one thing that's being talked about, because that's your sort of key area on that bit of land to start having some non-match day revenue. So yeah, it's all, but ultimately the fans get to stay at their spiritual home, or what, you know, what would be considered a spiritual home. We've been there since 1955. So it's great. It's really exciting. It's just what could you want? What more could you want? The guys have come in and said all the right things. It's really exciting.
And especially for Christmas as well. It's been quite a stressful time to be a South End United fan for the last quite a few years, not just the last year and a half you've been in the National League as well. But were there points as well, even when the consortium were in talks as well, that you actually thought this isn't going to come off?
Oh yeah, for sure. We had learned anything that Ron Martin's involved in, until it's done, it's not done. And there was, you know, at the trust. So I joined the board of the trust in May this year, and we've spent most of that time and a few months before that trying to work on roping in other organisations that could potentially help the club and save the club. And we were looking at borrowing money from South End Council, having that match funded nationally under the Community Ownership Fund, which is what the Bury Supporters Trust did to buy back Gig Lane. And we were looking at trying to raise about 4 million quid, which would have at least secured, it would have at least taken Roots Hall into fan ownership. And at that point, that doesn't necessarily save the club per se. But at that point, you then have all of the costs associated with potentially forming a Phoenix club covered, because you at least own some sort of assets in there, and you could attract people in. So it's been a really, really long year, and there was always hope, but there was no expectation that anything was going to run smoothly. So we've been working like blue arse flies for like the whole year, really trying to make sure that should the natural sort of organic process of selling a football club fail, because it did earlier on in the summer when Kimura approached Ron, that there was some sort of safety net whereby the fans could do it. Other fans have done it. There's loads of examples of supporters trusts like Swansea, Exeter. I think Wickham did it as well. There's loads of supporters trusts that took control of the club at the last minute. And you know, we didn't want to do that. We didn't want the points deduction. We didn't want, you know, I got a full-time job. I don't want to have to rebuild a football club. It's a nightmare. I don't want to have to do that. I like my job. But if we had to, you know, we needed to make sure that we were in the best possible position to hit the ground running with that sort of thing. So it's been a long year, but I think that it looks like we've got the best of both worlds in that regard.
Yeah, definitely hasn't come to that, which is obviously great as well. And we've got to mention the, you know, fantastic work Kevin Mayer, Darren Curry and Mark Bentley have done on the pitch. You know, at times you've had one substitute to pick from. There hasn't even been, you know, drawing straws or anything like that. And I'm surprised, to be honest, actually, the three of them didn't re-register themselves as players.
Yeah, we've not played a single league game this year where we've been able to field a full bench. So we've always had a space on the bench for every single game so far this season. What the coaching staff and what, to be honest with you, what all the staff at the club have done, playing, coaching, and then all the non-playing and backroom staff, part-time, full-time, everybody has done. Everybody is bound together and really been galvanised by this. And without wanting to blow smoke up the arse of the fans too much, like, the fans have done their bit as well. There was all the Roots Hall ready stuff in July in order for various safety certificates to be issued by the council. There have been fundraising drives to pay staff wages. So I think there's been an enormous collaborative effort between everybody. People that don't support Southend have been giving us money. We've had chairman of York City gave us 10 grand for a hardship fund. We've had American Wrexham fans donate for the players GoFundMe that was done in October of 22 or November of 22, whatever it was. So all of these people that are associated with Southend have worked tremendously hard. But as you say, I think you probably have to look at Kev, Mark and Darren, and just it's astonishing the performances that they have inspired from those players on the pitch. Like I say, a couple of players on non-contract terms there who is insured. If they get a leg breaking challenge, is their insurance going to cover them? I wouldn't have thought so, you know, and yet Jack Bridge has got something like 12 assists and goals this season. It's astonishing. They've inspired everybody. And I think that there is, unlike anything I have ever seen, there is like a real dynamic now between fans and players. And you can see that everybody at the club is pulling together. It's been an astonishing thing to witness, really, that they are all a tremendous credit to themselves and to the town.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't think there's much more any one of them could have done, you know, this season to get yourselves any further to where you are. So now we're back on the good side, shall we say. What are you hoping for the future, short term, medium, long term?
Well, I think long term is just stability. Long term is to just operate like a normal football club again, to just enjoy going to games, to not have to worry about looking up the listing at Bazard and Crown Court to see who's trying to take some money off of us. Long term would be the redevelopment of the stadium. Long term would be promotion. I think in the short term, it will be interesting to see now that, you know, the shackles are off. It'll be interesting to see what the transfer or the lack of transfer embargo brings about in terms of personnel. I personally think that we'll just carry on doing what we're doing and we'll probably just look to make astute signings that raise the sort of overall quality of the squad, quality, versatility, you know, all of those sorts of things. I think we'll be looking for players with resale value, exactly the sort of thing that we've done already. Medium term, be really interesting to see if we can climb the table. You know, anyone can beat anyone in this division. Yeah. So we are looking at the table now, we're 10 points off of the playoff spots. Rochdale in seventh with 41 points. We're in 15th with 31. And that tells you, without that 10-point deduction, you know,
yeah,
and still having not been able to field a full bench all season, we would be in the playoff spots. We'd be above Rochdale on goal difference at this stage. So there's definitely a team there. There's definitely some players in there who are playing above this division. So I don't know. Medium term, we could do it. If we don't go up this year, sorry. I would like us to have a bit of ambition and to try and sneak into the playoffs. And then if you look at the teams that we've played so far this season, we've beaten Solihull, we've beaten Chesterfield, we've beaten Oldham. So at that point, you know, anything could happen. We didn't beat Barnet. You'll notice I didn't mention that one. But we could, you know, anything could happen at that point of the season. So I wouldn't rule anything out if we can get there. but if we don't, if you look at the teams coming down from League Two, it looks likely to be, is it Sutton and, you'll have to remind me, I know Cole, you were down there, but it's Sutton and Forest Green, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
And then coming up, obviously, Scunthorpe and Yeovil will make the league a lot stronger. They both look a lot more stable in the last few months as well. But with Chesterfield gone, you have to assume that they're gonna make it out. The league is a little bit more open for us, and I would start to expect to see us look for a place in the top three next season if we can't get out this year. And I don't expect that this year, but it would be nice. But I would expect that next season, because I think that summer recruitment, all of those things that we've done wrong, as you said, it's been for more than just the last couple of years. Recruitment has been so poor with us. We have done so much recruitment towards the back end of August, where, you know, rooting around the bargain bins and stuff like that. But if we are, a modern forward-looking club with a modern forward-looking structure with an exciting manager, and we are some of your listeners won't like this, I'm sorry, but if we are a big fish in this pond, then we're an attractive proposition to players that want to make a career and want to make a career in the Football League. And if we can pitch that to the right players, and if we can find the right players, and if they want to come on board and they want to give their all and work as hard as some of the other players we've had come in, we will get there. So, yeah, see how we go in the medium term. But I really expect us to be pulling up trees next year.
Absolutely brilliant. Liam, great to have you on again. Fantastic. We finally got towards happy ending that Scunthorpe fans themselves got this year as well. And good luck for the rest of the season. And hopefully, if we ever have you on again, it's not for anything bad.
I think hopefully this is the last page on that chapter. But it feels very optimistic. So it's been really great to come back on. Thanks for having me.
Brilliant. Thanks, Liam.
Really good news to hear. Liam buzzing right now, as I'm sure any Southend United fan. It's good, guys, because you don't want to see another club go under because of bad management and bad practice, because you're seeing it more and more. I mean, we're talking about it again with Chris in a minute. Obviously, North Shields a different level and everything in Southend, but you know, nearly went under. There's other. Is it Mask at the moment? Of possibly Mask, just
yeah.
It,
yeah.
I've got to say Mask. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure there are some others we've seen over the Christmas period, or there will be. But it just breaks your heart. Like I've felt it nearly with Charlton, you know, over the years, because I felt like our owners. I know Chris, you probably maybe not felt going, but Cowboys running the club at Sunderland. You see it happen all the time. My friend's a Swindon fan. They look like odds on to probably get relegated the way their form's going at the moment. You know, they're recalling players like Ricky Aguirre, who played for Worthing on loan. They're recalling him, putting him on the bench. They haven't got a clue. And he said he thinks if they went down to the National League, their time could be up, because the owner sort of, he was all song and dance when he came in. I think he's Australian or something, the owner of Swindon. All song and dance. And then he seems to have buggered off and no one hears from him anymore. Yeah. Again.
Some of it obviously is mismanagement, but the worrying thing for me now is it's technically, in a lot of these cases, it's not mismanagement. I suppose it's mismanagement by the league and FA hierarchies, putting pressure on clubs to get facilities in place and do things that they're not materialistically cut out to do, you know, trying to climb the pyramid, but they haven't got the resources to do it, but they've got no choice but to climb. You know, it's compulsory promotion, which means compulsory ground improvements and things like that, and clubs just haven't got the cash. So there's a whole myriad of reasons. You know, yes, we've had some terrible owners, but, you know, the teams that we've just mentioned there, some of them haven't been terrible owners, have just been victims of their own success.
Well, they've often said, haven't they, that promotion is almost like a punishment in some cases. Yeah. I know we spoke about it a couple of years ago when, you know, whatever sort of the reasoning behind it, obviously Peter Crouch went to Dulwich Hamlet, and they were saying because they've got that sort of, and they're well known and sort of brag about this sort of hipster culture that they like, they've got craft breweries at Dulwich Hamlet's ground. You know, if they went up to the National League, they've gone the opposite way, unfortunately for them. Probably good for their coffers, but they wouldn't be able to sell beer pitchside view. And, you know, okay, it's not just beer. You've seen other things, you know, Worthing experienced it last season. They said if we didn't have certain things done by March, we could maybe not into the playoffs, which would be a travesty to the hard work that's done on the pitch. And, you know, clubs can't always afford it. And it is a punishment. And some of the things you think, is it really necessary at this level of football? It might be nice, but is it necessary?
In some ways, it's not necessary. If it is necessary, there should be more money coming from above to filter down. I saw an advert in the non-league paper. Well, if you're going to improve your ground, you know, the pitch side railings, 30k plus. Mm. I mean, goodness me, where are clubs going to get this kind of cash from? It's a nonsense. And it's going to happen more and more and more and more. It's not going to end. Unless there is support for clubs, because if you're going to have compulsory promotion, surely there has to be some kind of support to help these clubs. Otherwise, they're just going to go. Basically, the clubs are going to go back, do what Mask have done, and resign from the league, and they'll go again from a 2 or 3, 4 levels below. Maybe just stick to those levels, which is a shame because they were really doing all they could to do well in that league.
So let's talk about maths then. What's actually gone on for the people that don't know? Chris, over to you, Mandy, because it's up your part of the world.
I don't know everything, you know.
No, of course.
I'm not part of it, but basically Mask have climbed from the Northern League, like South Shields did, with tremendous management on the field. Carl Jarrett had been there for many years, and they'd climbed from the Northern League into the Northern Premier League East, and then got promoted to the Northern Premier League Premier. But their ground was nowhere near the level it should have been, technically, you know, for Northern Premier League. So they had to put in lots of ground improvements, and there were more to come. So basically, they've had to spend a lot of money, and they basically had no money left. So they made they announced a share issue, and which was going very successfully, but unfortunately they didn't inform the FA and they didn't inform the Northern Premier League. So basically they were changing the club's constitution mid-season, which really you're not meant to do. So the league removed their license, so they couldn't play. All in all, when it comes down to it, they got the license back. But basically, they needed £120,000 to see them through to the end of this season in the Northern Premier League. They had 2 weeks to do it. And sadly, although they did get a lot of support and a lot of support, it just wasn't enough. So they decided to resign from the league. There's going to be no more football for them this season, although the ground will be in use because the junior teams are going to be playing there. So there's still going to be football played on the ground. So they got some income that way. But they've just cut their cloth. They've decided, no, we can't do it. And we've resigned. So it's a huge shame that forward-thinking clubs who are doing their very, very best to progress just simply can't do it. And clubs have been... And then you look at North Shields. Same things happened there. Trying to improve the ground. There's a little bit more to it with the management of the club. I can't get it... I don't know the ins and outs, but the outgoing chairman, I think he's left a bit of a pit storm. So they've had to basically get rid of the whole playing staff and management staff. And they've restarted with Brian Smith in charge, who used to be assistant manager at South Shields. And they have brought in two or three players who clearly are very, very good players, the likes of Lee Mason. They'll get a little bit of money, but they've got 9 South Shields Academy players on loan. So they're going again. Luckily, they've been able to maintain their league status, and they're going again, but with obviously a makeshift squad. It's desperate. It's good, but it's desperate. Yeah. You know, this shouldn't be happening, but it is.
Can you see it happening after this season? You obviously got the lone players, and I guess it depends on the league finish, doesn't it?
Yeah, it depends on the league finish. I mean, you know, it wasn't so long ago, you know, North Shields were in the Northern Premier League setup, and because they're trying to improve the ground, it's cost them so much money that they simply don't have. Crowds have dropped because Newcastle are successful. So when South Shields, I remember going there in 2017, and they had a few hundred of the old Newcastle Ultras following them. But obviously a lot of them have gone back to St James's Park because, you know, they're doing. Mike Ashley's gone, so their crowds, I think, have kind of halved. So it's just not sustainable. But again, thankfully, they've managed to survive. And you do what you have to do. But this is just going to be there's going to be a tsunami of clubs in this position because of the structure. If you have to accept promotion, and you have to put ground improvements in, but you can't afford them, what are you going to do? You know?
Well, that's kind of a question I think you put out there. Like, Trev, if you're in charge of a club like that, what would you suggest that can be done to help these clubs? I mean, yeah, money from above helps, but then you get the Premier League coming out saying, why should we support? You know, they've been quite open about it. Why should we pay all this money down to non-league? And that's because it's the foundations of the game. But what would you do?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The ground grading's the difficult part, I think, with how much they ask clubs to do by March, rather than you've got a year and a half, so you've got to do it by the following March. That gives you time to get your planned permission in, because, I mean, there's clubs as well that I've seen last week, I think it is, 97 clubs at step seven have applied to join the pyramid at step six. I'm sure I saw in Kent, five of the clubs have applied to go up. Now, if they want to go up, they have to have the ground ready by March in 2 months' time. So they would have applied before Christmas. They probably would have known just before, but they've got 3 months to make themselves compliant. Now, obviously, when they step up into step six, it's got to be lights, it's got to be turnstiles, it's got to be in a boxed-in turnstile, you've got to have this, you've got to have that, you've got to be able to do this, you've got to be able to do that. And a lot of those clubs are coming off of park pitches, and pitches where they've just roped it round. They've not had to deal with any of this sort of stuff. Some of them will be progressive enough and have a committee and a chairman that knows what they're doing, but not everybody will. And effectively, like, I think Master of Village side, aren't they, Chris, as well?
More or less, yeah absolutely.
Which is a lot of what these sides are going to be that are coming up from step seven as well. So, you know, if you go back, the likes of North Ferriby, the likes of Histon. I mean, Histon rose all the way up to the conference, but they're a village side. There's no way at any point they're going to sustain themselves. Eventually, the bubble was going to burst. But it's how you protect those clubs if they do come up, so they can sustain themselves. Chances are a lot of them won't, just literally because their catchment area is so small. Be like where I am in Yapton, starting to rise through the, you know, off the West Sussex into the County League, and that they're not going to be able to sustain themselves. But it's possible to do it if you get a team that wins games of football on the pitch. You know, beyond helping those that are able to sustain themselves with the ground grading stuff, so it's not quite so tough first when you go. I don't know. I'm not sure what else you can do. Those village type clubs are going to come up with those problems all the time, unless you've got a sugar daddy that's going to bankroll you for the next 50 to 100 years.
Forest Green.
Forest Green. Yeah, Forest Green's another example. It is a tiny, tiny little village. I've been down there two or three times to watch Barnet play. You know, at some stage, that's, you know, Dal Vince goes, you know, do the wheels fall off then? I'm not really sure what the answer is.
Yeah, another thing, obviously, is player wages. So because of the astronomic levels of money in the Premier League, a lot of youngsters who are being released by Premier League clubs who have gone through the academy system and they've gone through the under-23 system, a lot of them have been on astronomical money pro rata for their age, etc. So their expectation is grossly ahead of what clubs in non-league can afford. So they've got agents. So clubs at say our levels are dealing with agents where 30 to 40 years ago they didn't. So the Premier League not wanting money to filter down, unfortunately, it's a double-edged thing, because the money that the players want is filtering down. So you've got players who want big money and to stay full time, but there are only so many clubs who can afford that. And other clubs who might want to try and get these players are pushing the boat out to get them and are in trouble. So there's a whole host of different things that are causing problems. Ground gradings, you know, player wages, some of the money that players ask for is absolutely ludicrous. It's the same in club cricket, you know, up here in the Northeast Premier League. In club cricket, players are on hundreds of pounds a week. When I played 35 years ago, you had one overseas pro and that was it. Nobody else got paid. They might got a little bit of incentive money. So it's and there's cricket clubs nearly gone out of business. So it's the expectation. The Premier League don't want money to filter down. Why should we look after them? Well, they're actually creating another problem because they're paying these young kids so much that when they actually leave their auspices and have to come down in the non-league, they actually want professional football league and Premier League money. So we could go on all night with this, actually.
Yeah.
but Chris, guys, does this start from, you know, all above? Because obviously back in the day, youth players, players coming up would have to clean boots at professional clubs. Mm-hmm. And that showed respect, that showed, you know, all sorts, money and everything like that. And now they're not. So that you've got these kids at like 14 on 15, they're on a few, probably some of them are probably on more than all of us put together in this room right now. Is that where it starts, do you think? And these other players look up and they think, well, I'm playing football. I should be getting, you know, I can do this, I can do that. You know, sure, I should be getting £1,000 a week at non-league or something like that, or 150, 300, 400 quid, whatever it is, with that sort of attitude. I'm so sorry. What makes you believe you're worth that?
I think, without sounding like a miserable old git, I think it's a generational thing. I think, James, you're about a similar sort of age as me. I think we're probably the last generation that would probably work hard for. I was paid £3 an hour in my first ever job at 15. Can you see a 15 or 16 year old nowadays going out and getting paid £3 an hour?
Absolutely not.
I did anything to have my own money, rather than take it off my parents. So,
but guys, you just have to look at some of the figures that come out, you know, of annual at the end of the financial year of clubs. The agent fees, you know, at National League, North and South level and below Northern Premier League level. Absolutely ridiculous, you know, agents fees. I spoke to a guy we had at South Shields last season, like called Joe Monks, who is involved in player recruitment, et cetera, et cetera. And he just said to me in the summer, you know, unfortunately, it's about money. It's about money. If you want the players, you're going to have to pay them, and the players hold all the aces, don't they? Mm, and it's the club that have to mop up when it goes wrong.
I wonder if we'll ever see a sort of complete whole overhaul of the football system in the UK, because the way it's going, it's just going to get worse and worse. If we, you know, this seems to me to be the sort of tip of the iceberg with all of these clubs going. And, you know, we're going to see, we said it, and we sadly, over the sort of 3-4 years we've been doing this podcast, we've seen clubs go, sadly, be reformed, whatnot. But are we going to start seeing more and more, because of things like this, players demanding salaries? You know, we're going to see that Premier League is going to become, well, it already is kind of uncompetitive anyway, but you're going to see that in most of the leagues, it's going to come down to the national. You look at the National League already. How many, you know, is it only two clubs in the National League that aren't full time now?
Mm-hmm.
Comparing that to
comparing
that to 10 years ago,
you probably had half the league were full time, the other half weren't.
Yeah,
my point exactly.
When you look at someone like Eastbourne Borough has just brought in a head of recruitment who is ex-Brighton, ex-Man United and ex-Liverpool recruitment. He's sort of scary. That's where non-league's going, isn't it?
Yeah. It's going to come a point where the way it's going, if we continue along this pathway, you're going to need billionaire owners at National League North and South level to be competitive.
I don't know. It's sad, but, you know, I mean, we'll do this podcast for however long we do it for. And, you know, I'm sure it'll be National League North and South soon. Will be all majority full time. Give it 5 years. Yeah, if we happen to be doing this podcast in 10 years, you can look back and think, hang on a second, we were talking 10 years ago about National League. Now every team but one in the National South, even the Isbin League, could be full time. And is this going to be a problem for football? And you are really going to start having problems with lower down clubs and clubs like Mask and, you know, North Shields.
I'd like to think that in 10 years' time, things would be better and people will turn around and say we were talking absolute shite. I'd love that.
Well, is that also when I've been to Turkey and got my hair transplant as well? It might even look a bit better.
Chris, I think I've been honest with you, they're all telling us we're talking absolute shite anyway.
Yeah, probably.
That's normal. Yeah. That's normal. Right, I think it's time for a bit of club roundups. And we were touching on North Shields and being saved by South Shields. And Chris, yeah. I know we've had conversations on the group over the Christmas period. South Shields are now managerless. Well, are you still managerless or have you got an interim
manager? So yeah. Elliot Dickman, who's former head of academy at Sunderland and head of player development at Newcastle. He's currently the academy manager at South Shields. He's interim manager, and Lee Picton, who is our sporting director, former chief executive, former co-manager, former coach, former player. He is his interim assistant. So it just came to a head on Boxing Day. Unfortunately, we stank the place out against Blyth Spartans on Boxing Day. Clearly, there was a complete and total, you know, not a meltdown, but it was just misfitted. Boxing Day, we were awful. There was no spark, no drive, no energy, no desire, and that was on and off the pitch. So the decision had to be made. It was clear it was gone. It had gone very, very wrong very quickly. Whether it had been going wrong for weeks prior to that, I don't know, but clearly it had gone very, very wrong, and so the decision was made. And then we went to Blyth on the Saturday, put in an excellent 20 minutes, and then went back to type. So it's a tough time. People might say it's coincidence, but of course the club's up for sale. Is the chairman going to continue backing until the sale? Is he not? Because of course, you know, you're talking six figure sums that he has to inject because of the fact that we are full time. Ronnie and I hopefully are going to be doing a Mariners podcast in the next couple of weeks because Ronnie's more or less fitting well again. But so I don't want to like kind of go too far into it. But it's not something's not right. And it's clear that what's going on off the pitch, it's easy for them to say, oh, it's not affecting us on the pitch, but something is. Something is. Because
it's
the energy...
It's so weird.
Yeah, well, the energy and the spark that was there in the first 10 weeks, you know, hasn't been there. And one of the things... I believe that we've gone too big too quickly, full-time when we didn't need to. Big news stand when really at the level we were at, we didn't need it. Now is the time that we should have been thinking about going full-time, having got the National League North. Now is the time we should have been thinking about building a new stand because we're in National League North. But all these things are in place. And yes, COVID did hit us and hurt us badly, but we didn't have to do those things. Didn't have to go full-time, didn't have to build a new stand. And unfortunately, that is going to ultimately perhaps cripple us because the chairman has paid for all of that and he can't keep paying for it forever. So the fact is, unless there's a very rich man or woman or consortium that's going to come in and be able to pay millions for the club and then shell out $500,000 a year, then we're in a bit of shtuck.
I really thought, because I was kind of obviously saw your confidence at the beginning of the season, you know, new league, and you finally got to where you belong, and you just seem to be like on cloud nine. And I really, and you said in the chat, you'd now be happy with a mid table finish the way it's gone.
Yeah, well, for the first time ever, last week, I looked at how far we were away from the relegation zone. And happily, we're 10 points clear of it. That's the way I'm looking at it at the moment. I'm not looking at the top anymore. There are players in the club who aren't good enough. There are players in the club who I don't believe care enough. And again, it goes back to what we were saying 10 minutes ago about players, you know, getting so much money. And because they hold the aces, they can just do basically bot all and pick up a wage. So I'm not saying that the attitudes of all the players are bad. I'm not. But there are players in that group who aren't good enough or appear to not care enough. And we've got players out on loan who may not be quite the level we want them to be, but they do care and would give 110% if they were in a Shield shirt. So we're paying these players. We're paying the lads who are out on loan as well. Yes, some of the wages will be covered, but they are better than what we've got in some places, yet they can't play for us. So it's gone very wrong very quickly. It's a blip. There's only 1,700 there on Saturday. Yes, Newcastle played Sunderland. So we knew it was going to be low. In fact, I felt there was less than 1,700 there anyway. So the atmosphere was pretty flat. It needs a spark of something. And hopefully it might come tomorrow night, which is Tuesday night, away to Bishop Stortford, bottom of the league. So who knows? But there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. And I know there's one or two people have lost their jobs. So it hasn't been a very stable ship, shall we say.
And what were your thoughts on Julia Arca? Did you think you were kind of dubious about him at first, but
yeah.
Do you still think he was the wrong person for the job?
Yeah, I think clearly wasn't really cut out for it. He's doing his best. And there was one of the turning points in my view was away to Chorley. I'm told John Lafudu, the right back, was late, either for the bus or in arriving at Chorley. And he was dropped and put on the bench, which is fair enough. Fair enough, that's discipline, you're late, But then he was on the bench again for another two or three games. And in one of those games, which was away to Southport, it was crying out for width on the right and pace on the right because Southport were really poor on the left flank defensively and offensively. And he didn't bring him on. And I felt then that, is it just stubbornness? And clearly it wasn't. Clearly it was. He wanted to make a point on discipline. But I believe in that game, if that's the case, Julio Arca cost us 3 points. He cost it. If he didn't bring John Lafudu on that game for disciplinary reasons, but because the lad was actually on the bench, then I believe he cost us 3 points. We were sat in the stand, and all it needed was pace on the right, and he didn't bring it on. So maybe then he'd lost the dressing room a little bit. Then maybe.
What do you think will come of him?
I just think he does coaching locally with former Shields manager John King. He'll do that. He might do a little bit at Sunderland's academy, and that's enough. I believe he's got little bits and pieces in Argentina that tick him over, but I don't think he'll manage again. Certainly not at the level that he's managed at there. Lovely lad, club legend, will always be a legend at South Shields. Always. He was a catalyst for in many ways where we are now. But sadly, it wasn't meant to be as a manager.
And you don't think he's tarnished that then?
No. He'll always be. No, not at all. But, you had that, and then you had Hartlepool, Spennymoor, Darlington, all sacking the managers.
But just before we move on from South Shields and onto that, Chris, what anyone lined up that you think might be coming in?
No, there's nobody. Because then you're just going to have that merry-go-round that we mentioned in the chat group. It's like remember the old Premier League merry-go-round with Alan Pardew, Alan with Sam Allardyce, Alan Kirbishley. It was just like they went from club to club and they just got it around. Palace, Everton, all these different clubs.
Don't talk down about my Alan Kirbishley, don't you?
Yeah, well, now you've got Steve Watson, who's now gone to Darlington, and the lad from Mask has now gone to Spennymoor, and it's. And Graham Fenton, who was left Blythe, obviously I believe he doesn't want to manage. That's the reason why he's not at Blythe, that he wasn't enjoying management, wanted a different role, perhaps in recruitment or something like that. And there wasn't a role there for him, so hence he's on gardening leave. So he's not in the frame. I'll be happy to stick with... No, thank you.
Is he still unemployed?
Yeah.
I forgot about him. Yeah. He left for bigger and better things, and he's gone nowhere.
He doesn't need to work. He's a multimillionaire.
Would you have him back, though, if he put his name in? You wouldn't, no?
No.
Really?
No. never go back.
No, never I agree with that. I think once a manager's gone.
Until, because there's rumours that Shields are going to go part-time next year. So, next season, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Rumours they'll step back. But I'm not sure they'll be able to or not because they've got an international academy. So, I'm not, I think there might be a rule in some way. If you've got an international academy, you've got to be full-time. Anyway, there has been rumours. But rumours are rumours. It's just gossip and speculation. But until the actual future of the club off the field is secured, it would be remiss, it would be silly for any manager to go in, surely. I wouldn't. And just, I think with Elliot Dickman and Lee Picton there, the two good football men, renowned coaches, let them get on with it and see where we are come April, May.
Well, it sounds like it could be a cause of a lot of subjects on the PNLP. You've not even mentioned it. You're one of the contributors to the podcast. It sounds like over the next few months, Shields could be keeping us very busy if rumours of this part-time with new ownership, new management, you know. Who would have thought it, eh, Trev and Gas? Who would have thought it?
I thought it would have been the most stable, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
What could our new question be for Chris? Will South Shields still be in business by the end of the season?
Our South Shields getting relegated.
Be careful. Many a true word spoken in jest, James.
You know, I love Shields really, but no, it's going to be. But the thing is the worrying thing, and you know, if I'm a fan from the outside, I'm not passionately linked to a club like you are, but you know, obviously, we always want Shields to, you know, that's how we came to do this podcast. And it does worry. It does worry when any sort of ownership upset. It would be the same if George Dow decided to step away from Worthing, for example. We'd all be, George Dow MBE, I should say, taken away from that. But well, it'll be interesting to see, as we say. I think it's going to keep a lot of subjects for us in the next few months, forgetting that Chris is a Shields fan. I think it will be interesting for the whole non-league world because I don't think we'll be seeing promotion this season from you.
We won't, but it just goes to prove just how precious it is, you know, how delicately poised football clubs are, that if one thing changed, the whole thing can come cascading down, you know.
Yep.
You're just a flick of a switch away, really.
And I have to say, do you think JJ Hooper listens to our podcast by any chance?
No, but he does listen to our lot, giving him dogs abuse, and Cedric Mayne. Given dogs abuse.
Oh, and mate.
They both turn around and score and then just go,
I mean, you probably like found, although you can't stand him, you probably wanted to applaud him and go, fair play, you know.
Actually, he went up 1% in the estimation because he kept his cool.
What was the percent before?
0. So he's gone, he's 1%.
But it's like his Uber rating.
So Hooper, you know, took his goal brilliantly, proving that he is a tremendous striker when he wants to be, which is all the more why, all the more frustrating, because you know he can be, but he's not generally interested. But he was interested. You knew he specifically warmed up right in front of the gaggle of fans who were giving him dogs abuse. He took it. He was really calm, and he let the football do the talking, you know. And Cedric Mayne did the same. But of course, Cedric Mayne does that, and now he's gone back to York, back to his parent club.
Shame he couldn't be that more professional when he played for Shields, mate. He might have been a star. You know, maybe he's learning.
Well, no, the pair of them proved what they continue to do. They'll play when they want to. And when they want to, they are a force to be reckoned with. But, you know, players like JJ Hooper don't ply the trade of Blythe Spartans at the age of 28 without having made mistakes elsewhere. And, you know, the clubs higher up the pyramid have worked them out. And that's why they're stealing money where they are.
100%. Now, moving on from Shields, Trev, Barnett, as you said, you had a 3-3 at Christmas and no goals conceded. Happy New Year to you. And what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Barnett?
Well, we did all right until we played Altrincham on Saturday and then gave them a 3-0 head start and only got two back. So, I don't know. We came out the blip nicely with a 6-0 win against Boreham Wood.
Boring Wood, you call it.
Yeah, Boring Wood, yeah. From all accounts, they weren't very good. They finished with 10. Went to Southend on the telly on Boxing Day and silenced their little party, which was kind of nice because there was a bit of a cock-up with the tickets.
We'll say this after Liam's been on, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. And then we played them again 4 days later and beat them again, 1-0. So 9-point Christmas, 9 goals, none conceded. Lovely. And then we go and sign a keeper on loan and then promptly let 3 in. But before anyone says anything, I haven't seen the goals yet. But from what I've seen, they're not directly down to him. There's a couple of indirect moments. But yeah, we're still hanging in there in third. Just.
Do you think that could be our new question? Will Barnet get promoted? Trev, will Barnet get promoted? What is your answer? What's your answer on this first New Year 2024 podcast?
Depends this month.
No, it doesn't depend. It's a yes or a no.
It does. It does. No. It depends on this month.
We never gave that option to Chris. It was yes or no to Chris. So you've got to copy him.
I got a better question to ask Trev.
What's that?
Will Barnet get a decent burger?
New caterers announced today.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's not Gaz's firm then, no?
Gaz's firm, new caterers. So chips and pies are coming back. They're doing pie and mash as well. So as we're recording on the Monday, so we're at home tomorrow night on the Tuesday. So I shall be taste testing the burger, and we'll see how good it is.
Post a picture on our PNLP at PNLP at the PNLP.
I will do.
Yeah, you like a good away day burger.
We like a good burger. Stay
we do.
Diet.
We do.
Toast me up the other instead.
So overall, you're quite happy then with what's happened over Christmas period?
Yeah, I mean, we're still punching a little bit. We should be in the playoffs sort of between fourth and seventh, I thought, this year was where we should be. And that's where we were last year. So we're a year in front, but we need to get another 2 or 3 out the door and get a little bit more quality in. We signed Jordan Maguire Drew from the Oval on loan for the season a few weeks ago.
Obviously I've known
about since he was 18 at Worthing. And he's already put a little bit of quality in so far off the bench. So I'm actually hoping he starts tomorrow evening. But we just need another 2 or 3 like that, I think, and then we'll stay the pace then for third, but definitely be between us and Bromley. I've seen a few of my lads have put some predictions out in our group today, and none of them have gone beyond Bromley and Barnet for second and third. So
It's gonna be interesting because this is like, I always find New Year. I mean, as we said, the Christmas period went so bloody quick. You always feel it's like that period from sort of Halloween onwards. It's like the build up to it. The day comes, it goes just like that. And then about the gooch, and then your New Year, and then we're into the season. I find this is when it sort of accelerates. And next thing we know, we'll be talking about playoffs and, you know, championships and trophies and promotions. And it just seemed January. I mean, we're already a week into January. Time this comes out, you'd be 2 weeks nearly into January. You know, we are fast forwarding. And before we know it, we'll be talking about the business end. Because business end, I'd say, always sort of, the league starts shaping up by the end of this month, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, James, you say it's accelerated. I checked the league tables before Christmas and there was Worthing out of the playoffs. And then I checked the leagues again at the weekend and for a minute you were third. I was like, where did that happen? You know, it just happened so rapidly.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, as I was going to mention it, we might as well move on to the Worthing sort of stuff now. This league, I think, for the first time, bar Yeovil, and even as I said sort of just before we came on over to Trev, it's like, apart from Hampton and Richmond, maybe they're sort of falling into that bracket now. It really is kind of Yeovil and the rest of us. Because, you know, our game, so let's just say, like, I've seen 3 over the festive period. I went to...
You're feeling all right.
I know, I'm feeling all right, yeah. Yeah, I didn't do any in the Gooch, though, but, you know, after that. But we did.
Why you were in the country.
Yeah, I know. That makes a change, doesn't it? Yeah. But I went to, I think after we last recorded, I went to the Maidstone at home game where we tanked them 5-1. It could have been a lot more, and it was completely different. Maidstone did us 4-0 away earlier in the season, and they looked like a very, very strong side. To beat them 5-1 so convincingly, and it could have seriously, and we always say it could have been more. We then go and lose at Hemel Hempstead away, the last match before Christmas, who were sort of mid to bottom end of the table. You know, we've just played absolutely abysmal. We then thrash Eastbourne, what was it, 3-0 on Chris? Was it Boxing Day? Trev, can you remember? 3-0?
Yeah,
and then we beat them on New Year's Day 4-0. So we put 7 past inferior our local rivals, who are also full-time. And then we lose to Chelmsford. where if you watch Adam Hinchelwood's interview after the game, he just, and some of the images in through the game, he just seemed resigned. And it's like, again, this roller coaster up and down, up and down. You know, we're getting goals put past us, we're scoring goals. It's like we've got, I think, the second biggest, we've got the best goal difference in the league, second or third or something, but we're conceding so many blooming goals. But then again, we're scoring some. So this National South this season just seems crazy. And you're right, Chris, we are well in the playoff zone again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the way it's playing, I think anyone at the moment could get there. I mean, you look, between the bottom 20th, there's only from where we are to 20th is only 15 points.
Yeah.
Scored the most goals in the league as well.
Yeah, but we've also probably conceded some of the most goals. You've, is that also, right?
No, Farnborough have conceded more than you.
When, yeah. But the North are the same. Look at the North. If, it's a big if, Fields went on a 2-3 match winning run, they'd be back in the playoffs. You know, it's bizarre.
But it's also frustrating, as any team that we look and watch support. You know, we even drew that game, we'd have been up to second, win it. You know, apparently, again, I wasn't at the game against Chelmsford. Chelmsford just jumped above us, but we could have, so it's a right top of the table clash, but we could have gone up to second in front of Hampton and Richmond, who have been pulled back into it. But now there's a gap of 3 points. But I think Yeovil running away with that. I mean, there's a 10-point gap, but it could be 13-point between them and Hampton by the time they play their game in hand. I think we could almost give the title to them now and just play for the playoffs, to be honest. So I think it's, for us, Worthing's aim now would be a home tie to avoid the eliminator. I think that would be the target, because that's what Hinch said. We finished fourth last year. Was it fourth? I think, yeah, it was fourth last year. We had to do the eliminator. And I mean, but if we had, it was one game against Taunton. I remember Hinch saying to us, one game, we could have made it as a home second round playoff tie, and that's what we're probably aiming for. So second and third, I think's achievable. He seemed to be a very dismissive about, obviously Ricky Aguirre has gone back to Swindon. He was a Worthing sort of played through the youth academy, got signed to Swindon, didn't really do much. We loaned him for a whole season. He's now been recalled on their clause that they have halfway through the season, which is a shame because he's scored 10 or 11 goals for us, really important player in midfield. And I think Hinch seemed quite resigned for that in his interview, because he was asked, is there going to be any sign? He goes, don't know if we've got any money. That was his blunt response, which seemed a bit out of character for us. I mean, we all think he should recall, and, you know, Gaz and Trevor, I think you could probably agree with me, Reece Miles Meekhams, who's at Horsham, because he was sort of the player that Ricky was sort of replacing. And I think with him gone, if there isn't any budget, get him back, because Reece is Worthing through and through, and he's a great player. We were all very surprised that he went, but I guess with him and Ricky probably was a slightly better player, but now Ricky's gone, get Reece Miles Meekhams back. Gaz.
I haven't seen any of Worthing for
for a few weeks.
Having a Waterlooville was the last game I went to, so I'll give you.
Need to get you down there again soon, mate.
Yeah, January is not going to happen though, because Christmas absolutely destroyed me.
Yes, I know. I know. Well, I have to say, it might have destroyed you, but something that didn't destroy me was Gaz's burger, because he won the contract to his work for Eastbourne Borough, and it was one of the nicest things to come out of that ground that day, apart from a four-nil win. Getting all these big scores confused. But yeah, Gaz quite happily said. And then we were sort of saying the Worthing caused, I said Beardy's got to go after that. And you guys, both you and Trev, Gaz, you said you'd be very surprised to see it. And literally probably about 10 minutes after we were having that conversation, it appeared on their Twitter. I mean, do you think that was the wrong thing to do for Eastbourne Borough?
I think in hindsight, I mean, they've proven they got a decent result against Torquay at the weekend. So I think actions speak louder than words, but I think Trevor agreed. And bear in mind, I've got a contract there, so I need to be careful. But I've said it to them. I think the turning pro in June turning full time in June is a real factor into why they are where they are. I think Trev probably said the same thing as well.
Yeah, you can't turn pro when they did and expect to bring in players that are going to, you know, even put you halfway up the league. They were, you know, dealing with the players that no one else wanted, players that were still on trial elsewhere because they weren't good enough to get a full-time contract, and rather sitting in the bottom four. But I think Mark should have had till the end of January, transfer windows open in the EFL. The chances are they could have bought in three or four players, especially from the academies that wouldn't have been getting games or they wanted to send out on loan could have made a bit of a difference. By the time you get to the end of January, you still got 3 months left to save the season. I think if it wasn't going to happen by the end of January, it wouldn't have happened. I mean, to be fair, he wasn't going to pick up any results against, excuse me, Worthing at Christmas. So why'd you not just get rid of him before Christmas if that's the way you were going with it? But
he was on a ban as well, wasn't he, on New Year's Day? He wasn't actually on the touchline.
No, he was in the crowd, yeah. And I have to say as well, I spoke to a footballer that we may know quite well in this part of the world afterwards, and he literally said it to me. He made a mistake. He shouldn't have gone to full-time football because it hasn't worked out for him. Mm. Trev, Gaz, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. But good day and all that. But, you know, I think, and I can appreciate, you know, sometimes you want to further your career, but the clubs you're maybe furthering your career with are probably not the right clubs. And I think that's what Worthing are looking at doing. They want to go full-time, but they ain't going to do it just yet. They're not going to do it till the moment's right. And I think that's the right attitude to have. It might frustrate the fans. I mean, a lot of the fans, some that will not be named, kick off about, you know, removing the stand behind the goal, which wasn't allowed. But that's all now been put through for planning and it's been approved. Then they're going to do it when they got the money in and then they'll do the rest of it. Chris?
Any fans who are getting frustrated about not going full-time, I'll tell you this. When you're part-time, you've got the opportunity to get the best local players around, okay? A lot of whom are ex-pros or have played at a good level for several years. When you go full-time, you can't have them because those lads have got jobs. So you lose the players who are very, very good and use football as a secondary income. You're then left, and this is going to sound awful, but you're left with the dregs of the full-time game.
You said that before, Chris. You have said that, yeah.
Get the pool of players from which you can pick from becomes very small, and you're getting cast-offs. And cast-offs who are on good money because of what I said earlier about being on good money for several years as kids. So when South Shields went full-time, we lost non-league legends like Phil Turnbull, Lee Mason, Craig Baxter, players who had done it all at the top level of non-league football. And then we get JJ Hooper, Cedric Mayne, Mitchell Rose et al. So be careful what you wish for. Don't get frustrated about not going full time because it's not the answer at this level.
And I do agree with that. Sorry, guys, go.
I'm not saying Eastbourne Borough were wrong to go full time because actually what they've got down there and what the setup that they're starting to build is really good.
Oh, it's a great facility.
And you got the club shop outside, you got a cafe outside. You've got a sports bar that's open every day. Like,
oh, guys, can I ask you something there? The club shop, is that moved? Because I saw the old one closed and they were using it as a storeroom. I didn't even see. Is there one outside
There's
now?
There's one outside, around the side.
Oh, interesting.
So we've got the sports bar entrance. It's on the right-hand side.
Oh, I didn't know that. Sorry, mate. Go back. Sorry.
What they're building and the way they're doing it and the guy that got in charge there is very data-driven. I think we were speaking about this the other day. It's very data-driven. And the people he's brought in there are good, but as long as he's got keeps hold of the football people, like we said a couple of episodes ago, was it last episode? I can't remember, it's been that long. We're saying about keeping football people involved, which they have. The general manager there used to be the chief exec there and the chairman there. So they've got it, they've got the right balance there. And I think they'll stay up. I think they'll have stayed up with Mark Beard, but the guy they brought in from Fylde. Mm-hmm. I think having that ability and that revenue stream to be able to pay the players and be able to go into the National League North and pick up some players will benefit them because they've already signed someone from Fylde on Friday, I think.
Yeah, we don't want them to go down because if we stay there, we're going to have no Sussex club around.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, haven't gone as unless something seriously changes there because they're really down the bottom now, aren't they, in that league. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I really sort of feel Worthing fans want things. I think Worthing, as you guys know, have got a core of the squad that is still being built around with Ollie Pearce, you know, Joel Colbrand. As you say, they've all got jobs, guys, and I think some of them have got quite well-paid jobs. So they're not going to throw that. And then, you know, you start bringing in, Chris, as you say, players that just because they say they're full-time, why are they full-time down in that level? Why, if they're full-time and they're good, why are they down at that level?
That's right. And what I will say is that we have got some good pros at South Shields. You know, the recruitment at the start of last season with the likes of Tom Broadbent, Gary Little, Michael Woods, these are good lads. Don't get me wrong. I'm not tarring them all with the same brush. But you do end up with these players, the dregs of the pro game. You end up with them because there's nowhere else for them to go. And because they've got big name clubs on their CV, and agents telling you they can do this, they can do that, clubs will just have to do nothing else but sign them. So stay part-time for as long as physically possible for the good of your club.
100%. And Gaz, you this festive period, you've been to one game, Staveley versus Welfare versus Retford.
Yeah, good game.
What was that like? What level were they?
Step six, Northern Counties East League, I think.
That's right. Staveley Miners Welfare were one of the opponents Shields beat in their Vars run in 2016-17.
And a hell of a ground. I'm going to be honest with you. When I sent Trev a couple of pictures while I was there, and you can see why the teams in the north do very well in the Vars. Because the setup that they had, when I compare it to, without getting myself into East
Clubs
Preston.
Clubs
from Sussex.
There you go, guys. I'll rescue you.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Well, you did go with Soundman Pete, who used to be used to be at East Preston heavily involved, didn't you?
And you know what? I didn't have a burger.
What?
I had chicken curry on chips.
Yeah,
it was
ringing.
No, it really wasn't.
Was it a can though?
No.
It was
a chip made chicken curry. They had chicken skewers and chips, and you know, none of the food cost more than £4.
Fair play. But you enjoyed your experience up there?
I did. Yeah.
I can tell you in the north.
Yeah, I did. And they had a disabled and elderly stand, which is enclosed. It's like seating, but in like a massive glass window. I don't know if they had it did you play them at Shields or
we played them at Shields, guys. But they're a good Staveley are an excellent club. I know that. They're really good.
And I mean they lost 3-2. But do you know what? It was a really good game. And took my boy, took Pete. He was inside because he got too cold.
Soundman Pete.
I thought you said Pete. He took him. He was excited, not inside.
He was inside.
Why did he stay inside? What a melt.
He got a bit cold, bless him.
He's fair weather now. He should be used to
fair
it.
Weather.
Yeah, and there's me there in my hoodie and my gilet. No coat. Hard nut.
The old
summoner. Fantastic.
My only complaint was the way they poured the Guinness, but we'll let them off.
What was it? Just pouring, let it go. There you go, mate.
Yeah. Little swirl as they're pouring it.
But I don't know this, and I'll probably offend any Irish people we got on here, but isn't that a marketing thing, leaving it to sit? Or is that actually needed?
As far as I know, it's needed. That's why it's
sit. It's needed,
Yeah.
Oh, I love a Guinness, but is it just a marketing thing, or does it actually make the drink better?
No, it needs to settle.
Yeah.
So anyway, it wasn't too bad. It only cost me £4. So again,
there we go.
Yeah, very good experience. We'll go back there again at some point.
Good.
When it's a bit warmer.
Well, we need to try and sort of arrange some form of meet with Chris because it's just a virtual friend at the moment, isn't it?
There's been a couple. I've been up there a couple of times now, and I've looked at how far Shields is away from there, and I'm like, it's about another two and a bit hours, and
it's a long way.
But it's not when I've already done 4 hours to get there.
Yeah, but so. Chris will probably have four funerals and one wedding to do on the day you'd end up going, wouldn't you?
I don't know, but I'd make sure it's a Saturday, don't worry.
You could go in a black suit and just be help him out or something, couldn't you? There we go. No, but rounded up nicely there, guys, and some much more football to come in next few years. I was due to be at a game on Saturday, but the world of aviation caused me not to be, which was a shame. But I don't think I missed much when that Chesterfield. Not Chesterfield, what am I on about? I think that's because where you were at, weren't you? I think Chelmsford.
We'll get there eventually. Third time
got
lucky.
There, yeah, third time lucky we got there. A little bit of anything to wrap up. I mean, I had to say, if you haven't listened to already, Mark White on the Peter Crouch podcast, that Peter Crouch podcast was a fantastic listen. I don't know. I think, did you guys listen to it? Have you had a chance yet?
Yeah, I've listened to it.
And I had to send Mark a text saying, nice interview on there. But it's good to see you doing smaller podcasts and your original ones that you love so much. He did find that quite funny. Any final things from you guys before we wrap this bumper? Well, I say bumper, it's only an hour and sort of 20 minutes after recording, but bumper it'll probably be, once you get the Liam bit in, it'll be a bit longer, but
I'll keep him
save it to 10 minutes, Trev. Anything to wrap up this podcast, guys?
Nothing from me.
No,
nothing from me.
So where are we in the next couple of weeks then? What have we got this weekend, Trev? What have you got?
Barnet Dagenham on Tuesday night, possibly Horsham Peterborough Sports on Saturday, Corinthian against Faversham week on Tuesday, which is their top three, both of those two. There's about seven clubs that could win the title there at the moment. And then Barnet Chesterfield on the TV on Saturday the 20th.
Very good, very good. Is that, are you there or are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm going.
So watch out for Trev. Wave at the TV.
No, actually, the camera's all behind us. So
Wrong side. Gaz, anything? Are you going to top up your? Are you going to see a match for the first time in 2024?
Well, it depends.
That was a big huff there.
Yeah, it's as I say, Christmas has absolutely wiped me out. But I'm hoping might get to watch my brother play or something at the weekend.
Nice.
And I might, if depending on how much money I've got, join Trev at Horsham on Saturday. We'll see.
Are you going to Horsham on Saturday?
I'm just going to see the Gash Man.
The Gash Man?
Yeah, Michael Gash, player manager at Peterborough.
Oh, right.
Ex Barnet champion.
Gash Man.
Gash Man, yeah.
Is he a friend? Would he know you? Or is he just going to see him support?
Facebook friend, at least, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I've spoken to him a couple of times, but yeah. I'll make contact beforehand, you know how it is.
Yeah, you know it. And Chris, for yourself?
Nothing on Saturday. Shields were meant to be playing Hereford, but they are in the FA Trophy, so we are gameless. But obviously, this is Monday night, so tomorrow night, Tuesday, we're on the National League TV away to Bishop Stortford, so I'll tune in for that. Might try and get a game in. I'm working, guys. It's unfortunate.
We could have met you halfway.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's Stortford.
I will try and get... I want to try and get to a Morpeth game to see how our lads who are on loan are doing, really. But unfortunately, Saturday I'm on the drink. So there you go.
There you go. I'm literally possibly not going to any games before the next podcast. So it'll... Definitely not on Saturday. Maybe if I finish on time, I might swing by the Horsham game. If it's not sold out, I might see you chaps there on my way home from work. But other than that, I am reliant on not being used from standby the week after that to see Worthing play Tunbridge, because I ain't driving down to Plymouth to see Worthing this weekend against Truro when I finish work at 12 o'clock. In an electric car, I don't think I'll make it anyway without a charge.
No.
But
no.
I think that's...
You get there for the final whistle.
But to be fair, it might be called off the way it's going at the moment. The weather is looking a bit shocking this weekend down there. I've already seen on some Worthing pages it could be called out. I think the closest I'm getting to non-league is recording Worthing's Rebel Yell podcast tomorrow. So I may be on with Pete, but I'll be with Spencer and Jacko, who record that with me tomorrow night. Be interesting. We've got our general manager, and we're speaking to George Dow, MBE, because if you don't know, which I guess it's good for the whole of non-league, George Dow owns Worthing, obviously. Spinal injury back in the days. He's had an MBE awarded to him. Pretty good, isn't it, guys?
Very good.
Well deserved.
And I think that wraps it up. Episode 59 with Tackle This Together, the Premier Non-League podcast, is done. Happy New Year. It's been good to get back in the room together, guys. Hopefully Pete will be with us on the next one. But for myself, James, Gaz, Trev and Chris, I'll be seeing you.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.